Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today we turn our attention to the choices we are given. As a congregation, we have said that we want to be people who are following Jesus together. That's the choice we have made, but we may wonder, what does that mean? Well, over the next year, for our theme, we're going to be focusing on this idea that following Jesus together means keeping Jesus in the center. In the center of our church, in the center of our early learning center, in the center of our lives as his followers. You know as well as I do, in the culture in which we live, there are many things that seek to take the place in the center of our lives. And most of those things aren't necessarily bad. In fact, they're good. They're oftentimes gifts from God. Maybe it's our family. That's a great gift from God. But is it taking the center place in our life? Or a job. We all need a job, and it's good for us to work. God created us to work. But has that become the central focus of our lives? Today, Jesus calls us to choose life. The life that he has won for us. But he also doesn't whitewash things. He doesn't sugarcoat things. He says there's a price that has to be paid. There's a sacrifice that has to be made. But for the one who does, real blessings, real life can be experienced now and for eternity. And this life that God wants for us can be shared with others. The people in our lives, our neighbors, the next generation who are looking for something, longing for something in the center of their life. We who have experienced life can share this life with others. So here again, these words of the Old Testament reading for today, from God's call to his people, his call to us. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. Well, by now, you have all been introduced. You've watched the predictions on the Weather Channel. You've seen the destruction that it's wrought in the Bahamas and the east coast of the United States. And I'm sure you've seen and heard the stories of loss and devastation. I think we all know who Dorian is. I'm trying to figure out if he's a boy or a girl. I looked it up, and it's, what do they call it? Gender-neutral name. All right, so, but I think we'll call Dorian, what do you think, boy or girl?
Boy.
Oh. How about an it? All right, that's what it was, a storm, right? So now we know who this storm is, and we're kind of grateful that it is gone. Days of uncertainty, hours of waiting after controversy, you know, president becoming weatherman, that whole thing. I think we've finally seen the last of this storm, Dorian, but I know we haven't heard the last of it. As the cost keeps going up, as people continue to suffer, as families deal with grief and loss, at the loss of loved ones, the death of loved ones, we're going to hear stories told of heroism, those who made it out, of sacrifice, those who were willing to give their very lives for others, of love, stories of love for those in need. And maybe you have prayed, and I would encourage you to continue to pray for those people. They have lost so much. Maybe you have given. I would encourage you, if you haven't, to give some of our funds to those who are in need. And maybe even there's a desire within you that seeks to serve. And I know there will be opportunities for that. This is a long-haul recovery. This summer, my wife and family were down in Mississippi. We were in Waveland and Bay St. Louis. They were hit by the storm Katrina, 17 years ago, or 15, or how many years? And you can still see the devastation that took place in that community. So there are those who are serving, and many already have, ready to give of themselves, ready to care for others, ready to actually go all in. I read the story about this celebrity chef. Maybe some of you read about him and his team who rode out the storm in the Bahamas. But they came prepared. I mean, they were ready with food to feed 10,000 people, with the equipment to get it to those people, helicopters and planes and vehicles that could get the stuff to the people, and with a whole lot of money, I'm sure, to make it happen. And he was trying to serve others, but as I read this story, it became very apparent that it wasn't easy to do that. You would think it would be. But there was confusion among government agencies about could they really actually do anything. You know, there were roadblocks placed in his way, both natural and artificial roadblocks. And then there were doubters, those who were questioning whether he was actually coming to help or hinder the effort. And yet, amidst all of this, he was willing to go all in. To go all in. Today, we are being challenged. You and I, who are followers of Jesus Christ, we are being challenged by Jesus to go all in. To go all in with our commitment, to go all in with our attitude, to go all in with our actions. Jesus is saying he is challenging us to go in with our very lives. Because you see, this is what our mission is as followers of Jesus. Our mission is to keep Jesus in the center of our lives. Because when Jesus is there, life is a whole lot easier and our lives are changed. You see, with Jesus in the center of our lives, we are healed people, forgiven people, alive people. And having Jesus in the center of our lives, it also changes how we live. As we are people who begin to think differently than the world around us. People who act differently, ready to sacrifice. People who live differently because we know how sweet this life can be. In fact, Jesus has promised us that he will take care of us and he will provide everything we need when we put him in the center of our life. Listen to these words. You've heard them before, I'm sure, from Matthew 6:33. Jesus says, "Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all this other stuff will be given to you as well." Knowing that we've been called to follow Jesus, we can put him now in the middle, in the center of everything we do. Our home life, our work life, our whole life, as we take what we have been given and share it with others. As we are sent now to share this life that we have been given. As we seek to love as we have been loved and serve as we have been served. To our neighbors whom we love and care about. To our sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters and nieces and nephews, that next generation, so that they can begin to experience this life-changing love that God has for them and really come to know what it means to have Jesus in the center of their lives. Now, I guess you would call it the typical college bachelor pad. Caleb, my son, and his two college roommates are now living in their own apartment for the first time. They're out of the dorms and they've got their own apartment. And it has everything you would expect that three young men would have in their apartment. It has a big screen TV, you know, right front and center, so they can watch their football teams. Two of them are from Nebraska, so my son has to put up with that. And play their, do their gaming stuff, which they all love to do. They have their male-oriented decor. You know, the old couch and chairs, like when we went and visited, you just like, can I even sit on that? Do I even want to sit on that? Because, you know, I don't know where you got that from. The sports posters on the walls, and actually, they have my stuffed deer head hung on the wall. It was spent most of the last 20 years out in the garage because Rachel wouldn't let me bring it into the house. And so Caleb asked, can I take that and put it up on the wall? And I said, sure, that would be awesome. You know, but you see, what really makes the place is the pool table that is now serving as their dining room table. Caleb called me up and he said, hey, Dad, you know the dining room table at IKEA is $70 and I can get a pool table for $70. Think it's a good idea? I said, sounds like a good idea. But you have to talk to Dana about what it was like getting it up to the 14th floor in that apartment building. I guess it was a little bit of a challenge, and I'm glad I wasn't there. But at least they're having fun, and I'm hoping and encouraging that they are actually doing homework as well. Isn't there something really great about living on your own? I mean, there's freedom and there's independence and there's excitement. But let's face it, there's also the responsibility that goes along with it. There's a cost. When the rent comes due at the first of the month, when the bills are piling up for utilities and internet and cable, and when you have to go to the grocery store and pay for food and then actually cook it up for yourself. You see, Jesus is reminding us in our gospel reading that there is actually a cost when it comes to being one of his disciples. You see, the backstory to our gospel lesson for today is Jesus had been doing ministry. He had been out doing miracles and teaching and preaching. And boy, people were starting to get excited about this. And they were following him around. And it's interesting, the text, it states that the crowds were around him. You see, they were building. And his popularity was growing. But Jesus knew that there were those there that were just along for the ride. And so Jesus calls for a choice, doesn't he? Your old way of life? Or the new kind of life that I can give? A life of faith, a life of freedom, a life with a future. Well, today, Jesus is calling us to choose as well. Now, there can be no doubt, as those who have said we want to follow Jesus together, that we want to take hold of this new life that God has in store for us. And yet we struggle, don't we? We struggle to let go of the old way of life and choose this new way of life. We struggle to be people who are Roman numeral one, counting the cost. Now we know, we've experienced it. We've seen others who've experienced this peace that comes from having Jesus in the center of our lives. We know what we are called to do as Jesus' followers. The sacrifices we are asked to make, but we struggle to let go as we hang on to our old way of life. As we deal with anger and guilt and failure and hurt. And it just never seems like this new life comes as we struggle to keep Jesus in the center of our lives. As we point number one, as we focus on the wrong things. As we oftentimes want to take the easy way. as we look only to our own wants and needs, as we talk about being followers of Jesus, but fail to really live it out. As we fail to listen to what Jesus is calling us to, as we struggle to tell others about him. But here's the thing, we can find this new life that we long for as we point number two, as we start to think things through. As we learn to trust in these promises of God. As he comes to us, as he is present with us, as he challenges us to follow him in the way of life, in the way of hope, in the way of joy. This is God's promise to us, as it comes to us in his word, as it presented to us in our baptism, as we experience together, as we live in family on a mission. And as Jesus comes into our midst, he has the power to make us new and different people. People who are centered on him and then sent out into the world. People who are actually living well so that we can be people who are loving well. People who are on a mission to make, in all that we do, the right choice. As we point number three, as we take in the truth. Take in this truth. That following Jesus means that he takes priority over all things. That's what Jesus is saying to us in the gospel lesson. And we may get thrown off by those words of hating our family and all those kinds of things. But what Jesus is saying is, make me your priority. Make me your priority over your family. There's nothing wrong with family. Family's important. We got to love our family. We got to take care of them. We got to be with our family. Those are all great things. But your family's going to disappoint you. They're going to let you down. It's just the way it goes. Make me a priority, Jesus says, over your comforts, the things of this world. Yeah, they're nice. They're nice to have, but they're not going to give us what we need. Make me a priority, Jesus says, even over life itself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Die to the sin in your life and experience new life and real life. You see, Jesus wants this for you. And it can be yours and it can be mine. Because Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate price for you and for me. He counted the cost and he chose people like us. And sometimes that makes me wonder, wow, how would he do that? Why would he do that? And yet he counted the cost and he was willing to pay the ultimate price. He put us in the center. And he chose us, the lost and the hurting and the broken. And then he did make that ultimate sacrifice. He took up the cross. But more than that, he was nailed to that cross. And there Jesus paid the price. He made the sacrifice. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He died our death, and then he gives us life. A life that we can now live as we are Roman numeral 2, paying the price. And here's the thing. In the way that God works, it's a price that doesn't cost us, but it blesses us as we learn to give away what we have been given. Give away this life to those in need, to those who haven't heard, to those who God brings into our lives, those people of peace. As we are point number one, and here's the motivation, as we are motivated by Christ's love for us. We live life differently because of what we have been given. We learn to humble ourselves because Jesus willingly humbled himself. We take the focus off of ourselves and look to those around us. But it's not always easy. You know that. I know that. We live in a world that tells us to take the easy way, even if it's the destructive way. Take it. But you see, Jesus calls us to do the exact opposite. To go and speak his truth in love. To live this life in love. As we point number two, as we put our faith into action. And that's not judging people, but it's living a life of compassion as we reach out. It's showing to others the kind of love that we have experienced as we show the love of Christ. And what an opportunity we have. You see, people in our culture today are looking for something. Something's missing. I mean, we've got everything. There's something missing in here. And you and I, who have Jesus in the center of our lives, we can share that with others. As we point number three, as we keep Jesus in the center. As we follow Jesus together, not a religion, not a church body, but the people of Christ. Living a life of sacrifice. Willing to pay the price because we have a God who's paid the price for us. What an impact we could have as a church if we were simply to live life the way God empowers us to live. To live life the way Jesus did. And with his Spirit dwelling in us, we can make that choice today. And we can have an impact on people who are looking for something in their life as we share with them the love of Jesus. There can be no doubt that we have a God who's gone all in for us. He did, sending his Son. Sending us a Savior so that we can now make the right choice, taking up our cross and following Jesus together as we center our life on him. Amen. Now may God's peace, which does pass all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds,